Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for 1 Thessalonians. God, I pray that your word would work, that it would work in our hearts, that the word that is preached and the word that is read would land in our hearts and we would respond in faith. That you would help us to grow in our love and encouragement for one another, that we would build one another up. That you would help us to put on faith, hope, and love. And you would remind us of the hope of our salvation and the hope of the day that is coming when Christ will return to bring us home. Grow us as a church as we anticipate and stay awake, preparing for the day of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. The human mind is fascinated with the idea of the end of the world as we know it. When will it be? What will it look like? The entertainment industry has taken hold of this fascination, and have run with it. They've created countless movies and TV shows about the apocalypse, each having a different take on what the end of the world will look like. One of my favorites and the most entertaining is a reality show called Doomsday Preppers. This is a show about real people making real plans for what they believe to be the real impending doomsday. People on this show spend thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars making plans for doomsday. They're preparing with bunkers and food and ammo, oftentimes isolating themselves from the world. The Thessalonians, they were fascinated with the end of the world as we know it, but they didn't call it doomsday. They called it the day of the Lord, which is what Christians know as the day when Jesus will return. He'll come again to establish his rule and his reign forever. It will be a judgment day. A judgment day for all people. And Paul's responding in this text to what seems to be a series of questions in chapter 4 and now in chapter 5 about when this day will be and what this day will look like. And so let's read his response together from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need for anything to be written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you're not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you're all children of light, children of the day. We're out of the night or the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or we're asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. The main point from this text is this: encourage one another to stay awake as you prepare for the day of the Lord. Encourage one another to stay awake as you prepare for the day of the Lord. And to build on that throughout the sermon, the text shows us three things concerning the day of the Lord. And so if you're taking notes, I'd encourage you to write down these three words. Number one, a surprise. The day of the Lord will come as a surprise. Number two, a sobriety. There's a necessary sobriety to be ready for the day of the Lord. And number three, a salvation. All who trust in Jesus Christ obtain salvation through him. So first, a surprise. There are a few words and phrases in this text that give clarity on how the day of the Lord will come. We look at verse 2 and we read, a thief in the night. Verse 3, sudden destruction. Verse 3, labor pains. And verse 4, surprise like a thief. What do these phrases have in common? We can sum them up with this one word, surprise. When a thief comes at night, they do it unexpectedly. Master criminals don't call up the art gallery and let them know that they're coming to steal their prized piece. No, they surprise the art gallery. In a similar way, we're all familiar with the devastating earthquake that hit Turkey recently. We should pray for Turkey. It's heartbreaking to see what's happened. The earthquake came and it brought sudden destruction. There was no way to expect it. And this is another way that the day of the Lord is described. Like an earthquake that brings sudden destruction, Christ will return and there will be sudden judgment for sin. Moms in the room, I'm certainly unaware, but you're well aware that labor pains come quickly. So I won't mansplain this illustration, acting as if I know what I'm talking about, but we all know that they come quickly and they often happen at the most surprising times. August 5th is Hannah's due date for our little girl that's on the way, but that's just a guess. We all know that she'll probably come not on August 5th and likely at sometime like 3 a.m. in the morning. And so Paul's building in these illustrations to show us that the day of the Lord is going to come at a surprising time. But shouldn't the Thessalonians already be aware of this? In a lot of ways, I think so. I want to assume that Paul has already talked to them about this. It seems as if he has. But one area that is clear is that though we assume Paul has talked to him about this, Jesus certainly has been clear that the day of the Lord will be a surprise. If we look at Matthew 24, verses 42 to 43, listen to these words of Jesus. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the day of the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Revelation 16:15, listen to this summary in a similar way. Jesus is saying, I'm coming like a thief, stay awake, don't be exposed. Or his words in Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And so here we have Jesus saying over and over that we won't know when he'll return. When you hear the word times and seasons, don't necessarily think seasons as in winter, fall, summer, spring. Rather, think dates, specifics. And it's obvious from these words that no one is going to know the specifics. No one's going to know when he returns. And so when people start putting specifics, when people start putting dates on the return of Christ, this is heresy. It's contrary to the words of Jesus. And so church family, if someone starts getting specific regarding the return of Christ, and maybe even all the way down to the date, don't listen. I'm probably going to butcher this name, but there was a man in the 80s named Edgar Wisenant. And he seemed to think he knew when Jesus was going to return, so much so that he wrote a book giving 88 reasons why Jesus was going to return in 1988. We all know that didn't happen. But when it didn't happen in 1989, he wrote another book, 89 Reasons Why Jesus Was Going to Return in 1989. The first one sold over 4 million copies. But obviously his prediction didn't happen and 88 or 89, and then he made more predictions in 93 and 94. Most recently, I remember a pastor making a prediction in 2014 based on the lunar eclipse, and that didn't happen, so we made another one based on the lunar eclipse the next year. But the big takeaway is that we're never going to know, so don't try to figure out the specifics. This doesn't mean that we don't long for the return of Christ. We do. We pray for it. We long for it. But in God's perfect timing, Christ will return, and so we wait, and we trust him as we wait. But I want to clarify the word surprise and what it means for Christians, because here's what we can't miss from these verses and the supporting words of Jesus, specifically in Matthew chapter 24. If you know the thief is coming, you'll stay awake and you'll prepare to keep your house from getting robbed. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 and 2, Paul is writing to these believers. He says, you, yourselves. But then in verse 3, we see a switch to unbelievers. It says, while people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come on them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. There's you, the believers, and then there's them, unbelievers. Two types of people, two types of surprises, but one day of the Lord. And I don't want to assume that there's only believers in here today. So here's the difference. The believer is surprised by the timing, but not surprised by the day itself. Verse 4 makes that clear. The Thessalonians won't be surprised. They're believers in Christ. The unbeliever is surprised by the timing and by the day. Verse 3 makes this clear. On the day of the Lord, unbelievers will be faced with sudden destruction, and there will be no escape, the text tells us. When you know the surprise is coming, you can avoid the sudden destruction. And so, unbeliever in the room, if you think all is well, if you think all is peace and security, as you live your life apart from God, there is sudden destruction coming your way. So don't be fooled. All is not peace. All is not security apart from God. And so my question for all of us this morning is this. Are you ready? Are you ready for the day of the Lord? Jesus himself says in Matthew 24, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect. Which leads to the second point that we see in the text. We see a sobriety that is necessary to be ready for the day of the Lord. Number two is sobriety. Paul uses extensive imagery here as well. Verses 4 through 8. Light, darkness, day, night, awake, asleep, sober, drunk. Paul is comparing and contrasting the believer and the unbeliever, one fully aware that Jesus is going to return, and they're living their life as a child of the day. They're staying awake, they're remaining sober, while the other person says there's peace and security, and yet they're the most vulnerable of the two. They're in the most vulnerable position possible. Think of this. It's dark. It's night. They're drunk. This is an imagery of their spiritual state. There's no form of security in this circumstance. The unbelievers laid back about the judgment of God, and they're in an extremely dangerous place. This is an extremely dangerous place to be laid back about the judgment of God. Unbeliever in the room, maybe this is you, and please hear my plea. You aren't ready. And the dangerous part is that the text says that you think you are. Maybe you do feel like things are under control in your life, but apart from God, hear me say that they're not. And so find security. Take refuge in Christ today. And now, church family, we must be ready. So what does this look like? Well, we walk in the light as God is in the light. We have fellowship with him, and the blood of Christ covers our sin. We're children of the light. We repent of darkness. You're a child of the light, meaning you're a child of God following his commands. We don't walk in darkness. We expose it with light. It's hard to hide things in broad daylight, isn't it? Well, Paul says that we're children of the day in a similar way, meaning we follow Jesus and everyone can see it. The Christian life is not the night shift. It's not a secret life that we live behind the scenes. No, we live in a way that everyone can see. We don't have anything to hide. So, Christian, are you hiding anything? Is there anything you don't want others in this room to know? Is there anything left in the dark? And if so, you need to repent. Bring it to light. We're children of the light. We're children of the day. We also stay awake as children of the day. We don't doze off into a self-serving lifestyle. We don't hit the snooze button and yawn our way through life. No, we wake up, our feet hit the ground, and we follow Jesus as we wait for his return. Don't lull yourself to sleep with whatever worldly securities you're tempted by. Live the Christian life like the day of the Lord is a spiritual New Year's. A spiritual New Year's Eve. You're doing whatever it takes to stay awake till midnight. Christian, do whatever it takes to stay awake spiritually. Do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. In another similar way, we aren't drunk, completely distorted and blinded by our sin. We're aware of our sin, and we fight our sin. We fight for soberness, not wandering off into a drunken state, a drunken spiritual state, acting as if all is well in the world and pursuing the world's pleasures. No, we're children of the light. We're children of the day. It's a church family. Don't fall asleep spiritually. Stay awake. Stay sober. Proactively prepare as if the day of the Lord is coming in the next 5 minutes. Someone who's trying to stay sober doesn't act like all is well. No, someone who's trying to stay sober battles. Let's look at verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. There's two things happening in these verses, neither of which can be missed. First, there's an identity. We're children of God. And then there's a responsibility to stay awake. What comes first? Well, the identity comes first. When the Thessalonians have questions about the times and the seasons, what does Paul do? He directs them to their identity, to who they've become, even before he tells them what to do. How does this play out? Well, when you walk out of here today, think to yourself that you've been made a child of the light. Think to yourself that you're a child of the day. And because of this, you must stay awake. Because of this, you can stay awake. Because of this, you can stay sober. Your identity in Christ leads to your obedience to Christ. We can't control when Jesus will return. The times and the seasons are in God's sovereign hand. But we can control whether or not we stay awake. And we look to our identity in Christ as a child of God to motivate us in this. Paul often uses imagery of the Christian life being a battle and that we're soldiers preparing for it. Put on your armor, that's what he says. One of the most famous passages regarding the armor of God is found in Ephesians chapter 6. And to give a little plug for VBS in June, this is what we'll be teaching our children. We'll be teaching our children to put on the armor of God, to be keepers of the kingdom. So we're really excited about this. But Paul uses shared language from Ephesians chapter 6 right here in verse 8. Someone who's trying to stay awake or sober doesn't act as like all is well. Someone is trying to go to battle doesn't just cruise through life. No. Someone who's trying to go to battle prepares for battle. Someone who's trying to stay sober and stay awake fights to stay awake and fights to stay sober. Let's look at verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Three words that we see: faith, hope, and love. We're proactively putting these things on as Christians, praying that God would grow us in faith, praying that God would grow us in love for one another. This is what it looks like to be preparing for battle. This is what it looks like to be ready for the day of the Lord. Actively putting on righteousness. But then we get to hope. What is the foundation for our hope as Christians? Our salvation. The foundation for our hope is the hope in our salvation. I mentioned earlier that your identity as a Christian motivates your sobriety as you wait on the day of the Lord. When we get to verse 9, we also see that our salvation motivates our sobriety as we wait on the day of the Lord. Which leads to the third point, verses 9 through 11, a salvation. So we've seen a surprise, a sobriety, and now we see a salvation. All who trust in Jesus Christ obtain salvation through him. Stay awake, church family. Be prepared. And you can do this because of your salvation. Verse 9 offers one of the most beautiful descriptions of the gospel in all of the Bible. To the Thessalonian believers and to himself, Paul writes this. He says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we're awake or we're asleep, we might live through him." We have salvation from the sudden destruction found in verse 3. We deserve the wrath of God for our sin, but our hope is that this wrath was poured out on Christ on the cross. The day of the Lord is a destined day that is coming for everyone in this room. It's a judgment day for all who are awake, who are asleep, either dead or alive is what the text says. But there's another day that we have to see in this text. Another day that Paul draws out in this text. A day that God had destined for his son, Jesus. And on that day, his wrath for sin was poured out on Jesus. It was poured out on Jesus so that you could obtain salvation and live, not face sudden destruction. Church family, when the day of the Lord comes, we will live for him, and all who have gone before us will too. Those who are awake, those who are asleep in Christ, will live forever, the text tells us. Why? Because Christ obtained salvation for us by his blood. The day of the Lord will be a day of judgment. But church family, Jesus took the judgment by dying for you. He took the judgment and obtained salvation for you. Everyone in this room is either destined for wrath or salvation on the day of the Lord. And so, unbeliever, take refuge in Christ today. Don't go another day thinking all is peace and security, because you're destined for the wrath of God. But you can obtain salvation through Christ, who absorbed God's wrath for you. Take refuge in him today. And church family, rejoice in his salvation. Use it as fuel to stay awake as you wait for the return of Christ, as you wait for the day of the Lord. The hope of salvation is how we stay awake, and it's how we stay sober. And so we've seen a surprise. No one will know when Jesus will return. We see a sobriety. Since we don't know when he'll return, we must stay awake and remain sober as we follow Jesus until he returns. And we see a salvation. We have salvation obtained only through Jesus from the judgment of God, and that will come on that final day. And then we come to verse 11. Action steps for us all. And this is where we're going to close. Verse 11 says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you were doing." As Christians, we aren't doomsday preppers, siloed miles away from other Christians, waiting for the day of the Lord by ourselves. No. God has given us the church. He's given us each other to encourage and to build one another up. Very often, I need godly men and women to come alongside me and to encourage me to stay awake. Darkness is all around us, waiting to lull us to sleep. And church family, the text makes it an imperative that we're to help one another stay awake. When you're tempted to doze, you need someone to snap their fingers and say, "Stay awake. The day of the Lord is coming." On the flip side, sometimes when you see someone else dozing, you need to say, "Wake up, the day of the Lord is coming." Remind one another of your identity. Remind one another of your salvation that has been obtained through Christ and through Christ alone. Very specifically, sit around community group this week and encourage one another to stay awake as you await for the day of the Lord. Build one another up by reminding each other of your salvation. Sit around the lunch table this week with family or friends and encourage one another with the day of the Lord. Build one another up with the day of the Lord. Do the same. The day of the Lord is coming. Do we know when? No. But we encourage one another to stay awake as we prepare for that day. And the hope of our salvation in Christ is realized on that day. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would help us to be vigilant, awake, and sober as we wait the day when you will return. We don't know when that will be. We know we won't be surprised by the day itself, though we don't know the timing. And so help our identity and our salvation to fuel our faith, our hope, our love, and to help us to stay awake, to build one another up, and to encourage one another along the way. In Jesus' name, amen.